I'm traveling around, and I gave him the names of all the people involved and the ones that live next to that guy now. Don't ask me. Ask him.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on July 28, 2021, and is titled, Who's for Sale? Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, and let's join Steve in the message.
But here in a minute, shortly after, kind of resumed back to roping. A couple of them hecklers still hanging around. They're all standing back there, and one of them's a good friend of mine. And he called me over. Had tears running down both sides of his face. He said, I saw what happened over there a minute ago. He said, that was God. I said, yes, sir, that's the one I've been telling you about. One y'all didn't want to hear about, I said, that's him. I don't have to tell you no more. I remember going to Sayre, Oklahoma, right over there close, and this calf roping one Sunday afternoon. 200 people stayed over the next night, that night to be at the rope, and the next morning that weren't even going to rope. Just to hear me talk on that little paint horse for about 20 minutes. Guy had two roping boxes over on the right-hand side, and I just told everybody, I said, I'm done. I said, God's up to something here. I don't know what he's going to do, but I don't care if I rope or not today. I'm going to stand in the corner of that second box. Y'all line up down that return lane. If you want prayed for, you want to get saved, whatever you need, God's going to tend to it today, and I'll be standing right here at this post. I never roped a calf that day. I stood there all day. They lined up down that entire roping arena, and I stayed there and prayed for grown men the entire day. Didn't have no church building. No, I had church people try to infect my bunch. Had a guy tell me one day, he got saved one day, radically saved on the bleachers of calf rope, and he come back in 2 weeks and he told his, said, my grandma said there's no way that I could get saved by God sitting on a set of bleachers at a calf rope on a Sunday afternoon with a dip of snuff in my mouth. And I said, bring your grandma next week and I'll get her saved too. It's the truth. And so I've been wondering, God, look at our boring little old service we have now. He said, it ain't supposed to happen in here, and there was. What's that? So Philip went to Samaria, and he began to preach. And the multitudes of one accord, verse 6, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying a loud voice came out, and many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. How much great joy do you think we'd have in our city if no longer you had to give somebody a pill for the monkey that's raging inside of that the church, the people of God, finally knew how to handle the demonic side and knew how to pray and knew how to walk in power, that demons would screech out. I mean, I could tell you stories from now till daylight. And if I do, and one of you falls out the back as one asleep, I'm jumping on you so you get up just like Paul did in the town of Ephesus. When do we go outside? Why do we keep playing like a bunch of little magpies going to heaven as opposed to men who are anointed by God to forcefully advance the kingdom of God in a lost and dying world that can't even make up their mind anymore if they're boys or girls? Yet we sit in our quiet little huddles on our way to heaven. We don't affect anybody. We don't cause a ripple in the water. We don't cause a stirring at our kitchen tables. But in the midst of Saul of Tarsus, who would go to your house and drag you out the door because you believed in Jesus, Philip went on down to Samaria and began to preach, and God backed his play. Maybe instead of having a prayer meeting asking God to show us miracles, signs, and wonders, maybe we ought to just go someplace we're not wanted and they don't believe. Do you really want miracles, signs, and wonders? You really want to see the glory of God? Maybe you ought to quit going to church to find it. Maybe you ought to go someplace, go in the dumpster, or find yourself in a bar. I don't understand why churches still have their annual evangelism thing. Why do we keep evangelizing the cotton-picking choir? You people ain't saved yet? Don't have evangelism party? Shoot, let's go to the house of ill repute. You don't know what that is? Have your parents tell you. Maybe we ought to go to a bar. Maybe we ought to go to the Democrat convention. I'm serious. Saul got saved. Here in a minute, Simon the sorcerer gets the opportunity to repent, and he does. No, we want to separate from all that. I'm going to the horse sale. Do you know at a horse sale there's people that use wordy dirds? Do you know at a horse sale there's people that dip snuff and drink alcohol? There are people at the horse sale who have the audacity to dance with their wives and some even with other women. Do you know at a horse sale there's been people that have been known to lie just a little bit? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Do you know that? Have y'all ever been around anybody like that, or do y'all just hang around in perfect people? Maybe you'll find your horse sale. Because I'm plumb satisfied now with this being what it is. So we can equip you to be who you are. So that in the midst of the Sauls of Tarsus, you'll find your way to Samaria. He said it right here. I knew this was going to be fun tonight. The next time somebody comes to your Thanksgiving dinner and tells you about their depression, their oppression, their voices in their head, not being able to figure out their identity, this, that, and other, why don't you not Google? Skip Google this time. Why don't you set them down in a chair and put your hands on them and stand still till God starts praying and using your lips to do it? When's the last time you seen a demon come out in your living room? Come on, it's a cowboy event, and these are cowboy times. Yeah, I just challenge you a little bit. What are you willing to do? Better yet, what are you not willing to do? But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is of great power of God." Here's the real quick. You better be sure. You better be sure what spirits people are operating in. There's all kinds of counterfeit stuff too. He tells us, he said, "Lord, did we not do miracles? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do all this stuff?" He said, "Away from me, you doers of iniquity, for I knew you not." You see, there are people who are truly prophets, and there are people who will do things for a prophet. And right here we are. They all thought he was something because of the miracles, signs, and wonders. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles, signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, and who, when they had come to town, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They only had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop right quick, and I'm going to give you something to go home and study on. I may even tick a couple of you off enough to go home and read your Bible. But let me tell you, up to that point, there's people who received the word of God, people who believed the word of God, people who even got wet, and people who got dried, and up to this point, they still were not born again. They were not born again. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's not a birth of the flesh. Baptism in water is for the remission of sins. It's John's baptism. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of Jesus that confirms you as a child of God. It is simple as that. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, when you heard the gospel of your salvation and believed, you are now marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit made in you guaranteeing your inheritance. Apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. I don't care what you hear and I don't care how you respond to it, but until you and God come into covenant, there is one sign of the covenant, is circumcision of the heart, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those are all biblical facts. There is no prayer of salvation in the Bible. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is a fact. It is a scripture. It is not a prayer. That when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. That confession of salvation is your confession, not mine, not your preacher's, not the Pope, not your grandma. It is yours. You're the one that says, I am born again. Are you born again? And if you want to confirm that by obedience to God's word, there'll be a water tank back here next week. If you want to come together and remember your covenant with Jesus, there'll be bread and grape juice of some form or fashion somehow in this place where we can do that. I am not built in a way any longer that will soften the blow, widen the line, or broaden the cross that allows men to believe that you can pray a prayer, blow some snot, acknowledge a creator in hope of finding a savior, and guarantee your spot in heaven because somebody told you that's how it is. I'm telling you today, unless a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. My question to you today is, are you truly born again? And if not, why? If you need somebody to lay your hands on you, that you receive the Holy Spirit, that you'll finally walk. I had a guy that tell me tonight, he was all confused about some stuff. And I said, there is an easy fix to this. And he said, what's that? I said, it's called the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the author and perfecter of your faith, the one who scripted that Bible through the minds and hands of men. That same one that raised Jesus from the dead has now brought life to your mortal body. There'll be manifestations of reality of the kingdom of God in a man who is truly born again. He'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You'll have as much as you can handle for today, and if you'll handle that in the morning, there'll be more. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm preaching of the full unction of the Holy Spirit tonight. I've been debating people all day. I ain't had time to even practice. When they believe Philip preached these things and the miracle signs and wonders, and then they come and they laid hands on him, received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. The title of my message tonight is Who's for Sale? You see, Christianity is big business. Let me pick on book writers for a minute. I always love a man's first book. You know the one he's been carrying around in his belly for 10 years? You know the one that God's been waking him up at night and he's got to write something down? It'll be really, really good. If you're not careful, it'll make a lot of money. Whoops, if it makes a lot of money, then we probably need to sit down and write another one. I've read some guys' second books and their third books. Didn't match that book. First one, they'd been wearing that around. It was something burning in their belly, and they just had to do it, and pretty soon you become a book writer. Not all of them. Not all of them. There's some guys that have held true to their faith, and they've stayed faithful in their prophetic word and the things they put down on the written page. But there are plenty of prophets who sold out for a profit. You see, I could fix my message just a tick. I could even operate under a different spirit than the Holy Ghost and entice people into the building, entice people to the front, say all kinds of things that'll make you go home, jump, hallelujah, and whatever. I can do that. It just break my heart to try it. See, those kind of things are displeasing to the Father. But there's a lesson to be learned here. A guy who also heard the gospel and received the word and followed Philip and then followed Peter and John because he wanted that same anointing. You see, here's the other deal that happens. Here's been one of the toughest things in what I've experienced in my personal life. Was here in a minute when God starts doing things in your life, people want to attach to it. If you're not careful, you'll be like me, and that becomes very palatable. If you're not careful, you'll be like me, and pretty soon you'll think of yourself higher than you ought. Praise God that God sent men of God into my life to tell me the truth and jerk a knot in my hind end right when I needed it. Believe me, the best Christians on the planet will jerk a knot in your hind end because it's for your good. Calls a man to repent. Hit his knees. Not in this. Not for sale. Not for sale. This place is not for sale. This pulpit's not for sale. My life's not for sale. My country's not for sale. We're not for sale. Because here's what happens. Not only could you sell out your birthright, not only could you sell out your place at the table for 30 pieces of silver, but you could simply be a Simon the sorcerer who has believed the word and say, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Here's a guy been following around listening to the gospel. Here's a guy who says he wants the Holy Ghost. Do you know what they'd tell you today in church? Well, you can't buy the Holy Spirit, but you're saved and God will work this out with you and everything else. We wouldn't examine a man's heart like these guys did. Now, your heart's not right. So your money perish with you. They predicted his eternal damnation. You're going to hell and take your money with you. That's the most anointed men on the planet. Looked that guy in the face and said, you're going to hell, take your money with you. That doesn't sound like Christianity. You know why? Because the institution of Christianity today does not sound like God. I can't believe that just came out. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Again, who's for sale? You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart's not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray God, if he perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things, none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages and the Samaritans. All in the area of Saul of Tarsus. They're going back and forth, Jerusalem, Samaria. Doesn't say whether Simon the sorcerer ever got saved or not. He just simply asked for them to pray for me. Well, I went and looked to see if he ever got saved. Couldn't find it. Maybe y'all can find it. Maybe he wanted somebody else to repent for him. Somebody else to tell God that, hey, God, I'm sorry, my heart's bad, but I want a new heart. Maybe he didn't know how to do like David did after he had done, punched everything up, but yet stood before the Lord himself in prayer and in a spiritual existence and said, God, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Restore a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore me to the joy of your salvation and give me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalms 51:10 on down. That's how you repent. Not pray for me, preacher, so I'll be better. Save me, God, because I'm rotten. Create a new heart in me. Give me your Holy Spirit because of my obedience, not because of my two mites in a tin can every Sunday morning. God's not for sale. God's not for sale. Your big buildings won't change him. Your multi-million-dollar airplanes don't affect him. Your football stadiums don't impress him. Pure hearts. Sacrificial living. Intentionalism. Truth. Those are the things that impress my God. Not your money. Not your stuff. Not your numbers. Pure heart. Walk in God's anointing. A heart that says, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do. All to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all had enough? Give me another cup of coffee and go some more. I mean, that's just one small page out of the Bible. A lot in there. Y'all ready to go outside? Y'all go outside. That little building over there across the street, you know what that's your opportunity for? Not to just give food to people who need free food. Even some people that don't need free food will be over here to get free food. Y'all do know that. Yeah. It's not our opportunity to judge them. It's our opportunity to watch God confirm our word with miracles, signs, and wonders. Does anybody have any idea how many demons will come over here to get a sack of groceries? I don't have any idea. I'm hoping there's a lot. And I'm hoping I'm standing there when some of them come screeching out. Any of y'all seen that before? Boy, I wish I could schedule it. I'd sell tickets. Yeah. Anybody ever had anybody puke on you before? Oh, God, you can't talk like that. Sorry, I just did. Yeah. Anybody ever had a grown man fall in the fetal position? You thought he died while you were sharing the gospel with him? I'm just telling you some exciting things that are available to the body of Christ. Yeah. Come on, you working on your resume? Yeah. If I wasn't so able to remember all this stuff, I'd have wrote it down. It's crazy. We have an opportunity. So we've been sitting here learning and listening to me banter at you every week and giving you an occasional break every now and then by being out of town. Getting this crowd whittled down to the ones who have enough stamina to endure this kind of preaching. So we can go outside, and then all of a sudden, God didn't bless Bailey County Ministerial Alliance with a free building. He blessed us with a plethora of opportunity. Yeah. Y'all want to go to Samaria with me? It's right across the street. Between here and there, you could bump into a Saul of Tarsus. You going to let him shut you down? Or you going to let him fire you up? See, when you get done with Samaria, you can pray that God will meet Saul on the road to Damascus. We'll be there in a week or so. Your worst enemy becomes your greatest ally because of a spiritual rebirth where a new creation is born, where the old creation used to stand.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Who's for Sale? Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.